down and troubled, and you need some love and care, and nothing is going right.
So, have you ever felt like nothing? No, nothing is going right. Well, cheer up from Los Angeles, a big L.A. welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I am Dave, the caregiver's caregiver, coming to you live globally through the famous worldwide blog talk radio network. Yes, folks, I am the guy who's going to help you and guide you through this very difficult journey called caregiving. And we're going to do our very, very best to help you avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout. Sounds so nasty, doesn't it? You want to stay away from that. Now, we have such an exciting show for you planned today. I am so excited. Model, singer, dancer, Lisa Michelle, who performs worldwide with the Chicago Honey Bears Song and Dance Show, who was also a former caregiver to her mother-in-law and founder of the online Alzheimer's Caregiver Support Group, will be discussing why caregivers need to not isolate themselves from their passions and their interests. So stay tuned. You definitely do not want to miss this show. Even if you are not a caregiver, but you can finally find out how to not burn out, which is a great thing to find out. And I am your host, Dave Nassani, as I said, and this show is to caregivers of every kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers is that they are caring, they're selfless, they're sacrificial. Well, I guess that's three. Oh, yeah, and they're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. So, come on, folks, learn a lesson from the airlines. Remember, everyone's ridden a plane, haven't they? You board a plane, and they start telling you about the emergency procedures, and then you tune them out. But when there is an emergency, they tell you to put your own oxygen mask on first before you help your child or your loved one with their mask. And the reason they tell you that is because they know that you will most likely black out if you don't put your needs above the needs of your loved ones. And then you won't be of any help to anybody or anything. And guess what? Caregivers are exactly the same way. Now, on this show, we also talk about grief and loss and the devastating effects that it can have on us. It automatically throws us into this other thing called the grief process. That sounds nastier than the first one. Now, unfortunately, folks, there's only one way out of the grief process, and that's to go through the grief process. You can't go around it, you can't go over it, you can't go under it. You got to go through it. So hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you happen to feel like you're stuck. So if this is your first time tuning in, you can learn more about me and my show and my radio podcast and my books and my videos and my blog. I know. It sounds like it's all about me, but it's not. It's actually all about you. So just go to my website, DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com, or the shortcut is just DaveNass.com. That's Dave in the first four letters of my last name, which is Nancy, Apple, Sam, DaveNass.com. And when you go to my website, you'll want to take my short quiz, Are You a Candidate for Burnout? And guess what? Just for doing that, I'm going to send you a free link to my first book I wrote, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. And it's about my amazing wife's story. And mine, of course. And it's still getting rave reviews on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So please do not miss out on this very informative quiz that will assess where you are in the burnout process. And the best part is you get my book absolutely free. It just doesn't get any better than that. Now, it's a great value. Amazon's still selling it for almost $10. So you will want to do that. Now, I want to take this moment to thank my last guest last week, the grateful dad, Doug Gertner, talking about male caregiver issues. So if you haven't done that, it's all on my website, recorded podcast. All right, enough of that. I'm going to unmute my guest now, Lisa Michelle, and we are going to talk. Oh, there you are. Hi, Lisa.
How you doing, Dave?
I love it when the guest is there waiting, ready to go, and I don't have to go searching in the internet for them. Thank you again for patiently allowing me to interview you today, and thank you for patiently sitting through all the introduction stuff for our first-time listeners.
Well, thanks for having me.
Let's get started. Why don't you begin by just telling us who you are and how you became a caregiver?
Sure. Well, I am from the south side of Chicago and now live in the northwest suburbs with my husband. We've been together for 21 years and
wow.
married for 6 of those years.
Cool.
And we own the Chicago Honey Bear Dancers, which is a variety song and dance show. We mm-hmm. originated from the Chicago Bears football team. So are you familiar mm. with the Honey Bears way back from 1985?
Yeah.
So in 85, they got rid of the cheerleaders. My husband used to work with the Bears, and he used to run the talent portion of the cheerleaders. So out of the 42 cheerleaders, there was 15 girls that would perform around Illinois and nationally at the time, and he ran that. And so when they got rid of the cheerleaders, he bought the rights of the name, trademarked it, and turned it into a song and dance show. So we've been around for about 30 years now, performing worldwide for corporate events, over 180 of our military bases. Uh-huh. So we've traveled the world, state fairs, festivals, corporate events, you name it. And the show itself, like I said, it's a variety song and dance show. So we do all styles of dance, everything from country to Broadway to 50s to disco, Motown, current hits. We do a lot
wow.
with the kids. And we do kids dance workshops, teaching important life lessons, like be a buddy, not a bully, school
wow.
is cool, teamwork. So we get to travel, see the world, and enjoy what we do.
That's amazing. Your husband sounds like a very smart guy.
He's very smart. I hate to say he's usually right, but... So,
well,
and then also with the Honey Bears, we've created there's a Chicago Walk to End Alzheimer's. And so in memory of my mother-in-law, who had Alzheimer's, we created a team to raise money and create awareness for Alzheimer's.
Wow, and you're doing an amazing job. I went on your Facebook page, which is Alzheimer's Caregiver Support, right?
Yep.
Just type that in and it'll come up. And there's even a video of you and your mother-in-law, Joan, singing with you, kind of.
Yes.
But she seemed like a really sweet person. So tell us, why did you create the Facebook page, Alzheimer's? That's such a hard word to say.
Alzheimer's Caregiver Support, yes.
I used to, when I was younger, I used to think it was old timers.
Right.
That's how silly I am. So
right.
Go ahead, tell us.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm just an ordinary girl that was wanting to help others deal with this horrible disease and caring for a loved one that has Alzheimer's. I wanted to use the knowledge that I had from my own personal experience to help others. So I'm not claiming to be a doctor. I'm not going to always have perfect answers. But, however, I can tell my story with the hopes to make at least, you know, one other person's life easier. So I've created this site for people to be able to cry, reminisce, vent, laugh, and tell their story as well. So I have awesome volunteers that help me. I'll give a shout out to Ernest, Scott, Adrian, Marie, and Julianne. They volunteer their time to help me so I don't get burnt out on looking at Facebook every single day, every minute of the day. But it's just a place where we can all come together and help each other. So I wish I had something like this. I wish I would have thought of this when I was caring for my mother-in-law. She passed away in 2012, and after mm-hmm. she passed away, I was, you know, wanted to do something with my knowledge, and so I created it. And when I was in the need of help, I was searching online for just support groups and you know, it was hard for us to get out of the house to go to a physical support group. And so there was really nowhere for me to turn. And so I kind of had this idea after. So.
Oh, yeah. We all wish that we had what's out there today. I don't know if you know it or not, but my wife suffered a stroke 19 years ago. And I just, the next day, I was a caregiver. And caregiver wasn't on my resume. And so I didn't know anything about it. I didn't even know what a caregiver was. It's the first time I heard that when the doctor says, well, you're going to be her caregiver. I says, I'm going to be her what? So it's something that nobody feels qualified to do. But here I am 19 years later, and I'm still alive. I've managed to survive somehow.
Through the grace of God, that's for sure.
Tell us, tell us about Joan. What were some of the events? Because you know, it's all about Alzheimer's and dementia awareness. How did anybody know that something was wrong, and what was the process? Just kind of walk us through when you first discovered that there was a problem with your mother-in-law.
Yeah, well, you know, her husband passed away in 2004, and mm-hmm. we feel like that's when we look at the whole scheme of things, we look back and we say, okay, you know what? I think that's when it really started, because she was so dependent on him, and they were together since they were 16. And
wow.
My father-in-law, he had major heart problems and had several heart attacks, and so we kind of lost him really quickly one day. And so from there, she just was lost, I think, without him. You know, sometimes they say people die of a broken heart syndrome, and I think it was hard for her to live without him, since she was so dependent on him. And so slowly, you know, over the years, we started seeing different things. I would say, oh gosh, 5 or 6 years later is when we really started noticing just different mood swings, different not remembering where she put things, just doing off the wall things, you know, just saying weird things, you know, all of a sudden not knowing how to brush her teeth or not
wow.
knowing how to cut her food up or pouring the milk on the ground for her dog to lick off the carpet, you know,
wow.
so stuff like that where we're like, okay, something is not adding up. And right after my husband and I got married, like I said, after being together for 15 years, we decided we think it's time. So after we got married... Thank you. It's been about 6 years now. We just had our 6-year wedding anniversary. But after we got married, literally a couple months after, we decided, after starting to see some of these things, we thought it was best that we would move in with my mom. So we left our house vacant, and we moved in with her to take care of her.
Was she in Chicago also?
Yeah, she's only about 15, 20 minutes away from us, so
okay.
It wasn't too bad. And so, yeah, so we ended up being her full-time caregivers for about 3 years. And everyone's story is different. With her, she was extremely combative and very hard to take care of. I mean, we tried to get help from other nurses and caregivers, and it was very hard to handle. I mean, I don't know if you've had the experience with the repeating, but... You know, in an hour, one day I was listening. Greg was, my husband was out, and she would say, "Is Greg coming? Is Greg coming?" And I literally counted in an hour. Just guess, how many times do you think she asked me in 1 hour?
Well, my mother has dementia, so I would say in 1 hour, maybe if she was doing it every 5 minutes, that would be 12 times. I don't know.
Well, she... 200 times in 1 hour.
Oh,
200
man.
Times. Is Greg coming? Is Greg coming? Now, how do you be creative with your answers without getting aggravated? So, you know, times that by the entire day, it can get pretty overwhelming. And so, you know, she was hard to take care of. And, you know, we wouldn't change it for the world, but trying to have a caregiver come in, and we couldn't find anyone to help. So, we did it ourselves, the two of us in her home and with her dog, who was her little baby as well. And we made it work, and we wouldn't change anything for the world. As hard as it was, I mean, we miss her dearly today, and mm-hmm. as strange as it may seem, I miss those crazy times. I miss caring
miss,
for her. And
yes.
And
you
know,
miss caregiving.
The good and
that's a very common thing, actually. In fact, it's so common that a lot of caregivers – get depressed when their caregiver dies, because it's like, oh no, what am I going to do now? It's like their identity was identified by, I am a caregiver, and I don't know what else I am. So, and we're going to talk about that later, about how it's so important to have hobbies and activities while you're caregiving, because you're not going to be a caregiver forever.
Right,
so
exactly.
So you and your husband shared caregiving responsibilities, so it didn't all fall on your shoulders. That's good.
Right.
What did he do for a living, and how did he balance it with his job?
Well, our full-time job is the Chicago Honey Bears.
So you do it together.
We do that. We do it together. We
How
are together 24/7.
And
we've made it work for 21 years. So a lot of people, we were talking about this the other day. Really, even though we've been together for 21 years, if you think about it, being together 24 hours a day, that's kind of like being married for about 60 years.
It's true.
Yeah,
I know my wife and I tried doing a business together. It lasted a year, and we were ready to kill each other. So some couples can work together, and some couples cannot. You are so fortunate that you two basically, you know, he's your partner, he's your husband, he's your co-caregiver, and that's amazing. You're very, very blessed, and you do have faith in God, I assume. I heard you sing a song on Facebook, El Shaddai.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Absolutely. Right. Without God, we wouldn't have been able to make it through the days. And he's our Savior, that's for sure. I mean, I have a strong faith in God, and so does Greg. And that really is the answer to everything for us, is prayer. So,
what was your career? I'm just curious, before the Honey Bears. Obviously, you've been a singer, dancer all your life, probably.
I have. Yeah. No, I've been doing this. I mean, I've been doing this since I was 18. So this has been my life. I worked, you know, little jobs. I worked at Claire's Accessories. I was the manager there, and that's a jewelry store. And mm-hmm. I worked at with my mom at a doctor's office, where I was a nurse's aide, and worked in the file room and yeah. answered phones. But for the most part, right out of high school, I started doing Honey Bears, and I've been singing my whole life. My brother's an amazing singer as well, and we do a lot of stuff together, and so yeah, I've been very fortunate and blessed to be able to do what I love and do it as a career with my husband and my best friend.
That's so cool. You know, I'm sorry I'm bouncing back and forth here, but when you mentioned that Joan just started to get forgetful and stuff, how does one know that? Because I'm forgetful, and you know, I wish I had a nickel for every off-ramp that I forgot to get off at. How do we
right.
know that it's not just old age and memory, you know, the normal stuff, versus perhaps a dementia coming on or Alzheimer's early stages? Is there a way to determine which is which, what's normal and what you should worry about?
Right. You know, that's the tricky part. That is the hardest part about pinpointing this disease. And the early stages, I believe, like 1, 2, and 3, are just so, the signs are so small that you can't differentiate. So unfortunately, when it gets into the later stages, when you're pouring the milk on the carpet and stuff like that, where it's just out of the ordinary, you know, or when you drive somewhere and you can't find your way home and, you know, stuff like that, that's when you really notice, okay, there's something wrong. And usually it's someone else that's going to notice it. You know, you
sure.
feel probably yourself, okay, this isn't right, but you don't know the extent of it. So really the best way is early detection, going to a doctor. There's a specific test that you can take, and there's medicine that can slow down, you know, the disease. But without this awareness, no one really understands, and I think at this point it's too late sometimes in the stage to really slow it down. They're already in stages 5 and 6, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah, my mother is.
It's a tricky disease.
My mother has dementia. We started noticing it about 3 years ago. She just started getting more and more confused and more forgetful. And she was living alone, but not alone really. She was in an assisted living environment. But still, you know, you have your own apartment, you do your own cooking. No, it was independent living. That's what it was. I always get those two mixed up. And she would just, you know, leave things on the stove, almost burn the place down. And she was probably in there way too long, and we would come and visit. So then we had caregivers come and stay with her several hours. But then we noticed that I would get calls in the middle of the night saying, is it time to wake up yet? You know, she just didn't get the clock thing. She couldn't read the clock anymore. And then she didn't know if nighttime meant you were supposed to go to bed, or was it daytime you were supposed to go to bed. And so we knew there was a problem. And
right.
just when we were going to pull her out, she had fallen and broke some bone in her pelvis. So she was in a nursing home. And then from there, she got stronger and stronger, and she was identified. Actually, the doctor knew that she had Alzheimer's, but it was really slow. But from there, they says, you know, she's too good to be in a nursing home because she's alert. And, you know, some of these other patients are, you know, they look like comatose. The lights are on and nobody's home. But my mother was always alert, and so they recommended that she go to assisted living, which is what she did. And they just love her down there. She's one of the sweet ones. Because
yeah.
She said, you know, you can either be sweet or nasty. And everybody loves her, and I go see her every week, me and my sister. And it's
aww.
So cute when I see her. She goes, oh, why? You haven't been here in like a year. And I says, Mom, I was
aww.
Here like last week. So I wanted to test her when I left on that visit. I says, okay, Mom, I'll see you next year. And she started laughing. So I wonder if she was just fooling me.
right, exactly.
Well, listen,
yeah,
we're coming up on a break. Save that thought, and we will get back to that. And everybody, we'll be back in a couple of minutes, so don't go away.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships. Available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Hear what Lynn Barrington, best-selling author of Daddies and Daughters, published by Simon & Schuster, has to say about it. You think you have it bad? Read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you will be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy Award winner, the godfather of contemporary gospel music, Andre Crouch? This book will be an encouragement to anyone who reads it. Charlene just won't let the promises of God go. She's hanging on to her positive, godly attitude, and I look forward to the day when she will receive all that she's believing that God will do for her. In the meantime, she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. Her smile has gotten just as big as it was before her stroke. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. I'm glad to know her and her testimony. Read this book. You will be encouraged regardless of what you're going through. So get your copy of One Arm, One Leg, and 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But if you purchased it from the author's website, Dave and Charlene Nassani will personally autograph your own copy. Just go to DaveNass.com. That's Dave, and then N like Nancy, A like Apple, S like Sam, S like Sam.com. DaveNass.com. Oh, and while you're on his website, don't forget to leave your name and email address so that Dave can send you his free report, 10 Mistakes All Caregivers Make That You Shouldn't, just for visiting the site. There are a lot of resources, videos, and links to his radio podcast. Again, DaveNass.com. That's NASS. Now let's rejoin Dave Nassani and his guest on Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Program on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.
And we are back with Lisa Michelle. I almost want to say Lisa Marie.
I know.
Elvis is a daughter. But,
right.
But that's, I thought Michelle was your middle name or part of your first name, but that's your last name, right?
Well, it's my stage name.
Oh, it's your stage name. Excuse
me. My stage name.
Well, listen, as a caregiver to your mother-in-law, how did you manage? I know you touched on this, but I want you to be specific and just help. We got a lot of burned out caregivers listening to this show who are hoping that you can help them not burn out by not feeling guilty for having hobbies and interests. You know, a lot of these people, they just feel like their main job is to take care of this person at all costs, be their slave, and thus they feel like they're in caregiver prison. Now, that is not the way, right? So
right,
tell us how
no.
you managed to balance your caregiving duties and your career at the same time. And I guess you were fortunate to have a partner, your husband. Many people are not that lucky.
Right. No, absolutely. I was very blessed to be able to lean on my husband. And you know what? It even made our relationship stronger. You know, we
cool.
leaned on each other for support. But, yeah, we talk about this a lot on the Alzheimer's Caregiver Support page, you know, it, giving ideas on what we can do to, as an outlet, what we can do to help with the day-to-day stress. And, I mean, there's many, many different things you can do. I mean, find, you know, something that you're passionate about, whether it's, you know, writing, reading, animals, music, dancing. And for me, being a singer and dancer, I bet you all can guess what I did. I was a singer. And so what I did, I was pretty creative. When my mother-in-law was sleeping or taking a nap or it was time, you know, to go to bed, I created a music YouTube channel in my bathroom. And
wow.
What I would do, she slept downstairs, and we had one of those baby monitors as well, so I could keep that on and watch her during the night, you know, if she got up or anything. And so I set up upstairs in her bathroom upstairs. I would close the door. I would turn on my camera, turn on my favorite covers, and I would sing karaoke style instrumental tracks. I would play them and sing my favorite tunes in the bathroom. I did that once, and then it just kind of, I kept going with it because it was very therapeutic. Being a singer, you know, just pouring my heart out and singing makes me feel good. So that's what I would do. I would every night or afternoon when she was sleeping, I would go in my bathroom and sing. Plus, the acoustics are pretty fabulous in the bathroom.
That's why everybody sings in the shower, by the way.
Exactly.
And they sound good.
Yeah. So it became a hobby, and then I just started recording one after the other. So that's my point. Just find something that you're passionate about that made me feel good. It was an outlet. And, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, 2 hours of the day. I mean, even 5 minutes a day is going to make you feel refreshed and better. So even if you go, you know, take a hot bath or just, you know, go outside and sit in your backyard and play your favorite music. Just find something that's going to make you feel good. And take those special moments for yourself.
Yes, I exactly did that because I had piano lessons when I was like 12 years old, and they didn't really stick. But I know enough about the piano that I actually started doing piano again, and because I started singing also, because I used to sing in the shower all my life. But I would take my mother to the senior center here in Santa Clarita, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, they had some old guy singing all these standards. And he was very entertaining, and his voice was, you know, decent. And one day I said, you know, I'm going to raise my hand and see if he knows, does requests. And I asked him to sing the Mills Brothers, Paper Doll. And he says, sure, I know that. And he came up to me, and he shoved the microphone in my mouth. He says, you sing it. And next thing I know, I was singing, and everyone, like, gave me a standing ovation. And the guy says, wow, you're really good. Are you professional? I says, no, just the shower. So he had me sing 3-4 songs every time I would go there, stand up on the stage, and thus my singing career was launched. he eventually went away. Yes. So now I'm the guy at the senior center singing on Tuesdays to the lunch crowd. And I'm just getting better and better. I took some voice lessons to, you know, fix some issues I had, getting my voice higher. I don't know. They love me. I personally think they're deaf and they can't hear me, but they don't throw food at me, so I must be doing a good job. But
hey,
now
you're
I'm
making people smile.
Yeah, and sometimes the piano player doesn't show up. So I says, wouldn't it be cool if I could accompany myself? So that started my quest on learning new songs. And so I learned my third song, and I'm working on my fourth song now that I can accompany myself and sing at the same time. So that's my hobby. So you're absolutely right. You know, it doesn't take a lot. Just whenever you can, I sit at the piano and I just start playing and singing and practicing. And I also feel good when I sing.
Exactly.
So everyone should take our advice, right?
Absolutely.
It doesn't have to be singing.
It doesn't have to be singing, but you know what? Try it. Try it.
It could even be jigsaw puzzles. You can be a jigsaw puzzle master. You can play chess on your computer and learn, you know, to be a chess master. Yeah.
Candy Crushers out there? Come on. Yeah, there's so many things. Be creative. And that's one of the things that we learned is, man, I never realized how creative my husband and I are. You just use your creativity, think outside the box, and just have fun with it, you know, just do something that's going to make you smile as well, because if you're not happy, you can't be the best caregiver. You know, you have to be good yourself before you can care for others. So,
got to put your mask on first.
Absolutely.
So,
that's
I assume you talk about all this creativity on your website and on your Facebook page. Do you have a website or is it just the Facebook page for the Alzheimer's?
For the Alzheimer's Caregiver Support, we just have a Facebook page.
Okay. People can go to that, and again, it's support.
Alzheimer's Caregiver Support.
Yeah, because there's a lot of similar names out there, so you want that particular name. A lot of caregivers get frustrated because they don't have help. They might have 9 brothers and sisters, but guess what? They're the only one who seems to care about caring for their parent, because they're the only ones who seem to have compassion and empathy and sympathy and all the necessary ingredients for a great caregiver. Everyone else says, well, you know, I don't have time. I live far away. I'm not good with that. You're better with that. Here, I'll send you money. I mean, what do you say to those people? Where can they get help if their own family won't even help them?
Right, absolutely. You know, this hits home. We had, you know, a lot of parents, my mom, my brother, and a few cousins, and our best friends helped out, and we were lucky to have, my mother-in-law had a neighbor across the street that was just amazing, just helped us out when we needed just 5 minutes here or there. And it's hard, yeah, pretty much we did everything ourselves. What I turned to was the local Alzheimer's Association, the local Alzheimer's chapter. And so you can Google that, find an Alzheimer's chapter that's in your area, or just call the Alzheimer's Association hotline. I should have that number on me, and I don't. If you go to our, well, you can Google it, but even on our Facebook page, we have that information there. But call your Alzheimer's chapter and talk to them. They can help you find some information as to maybe daycare centers that you can have your loved one go for a couple hours a day. Maybe talk to home care nurses, you know, maybe have someone come in to your home for a couple hours a day, or even maybe twice a week, 3 hours a day. Seek support groups. There might be some local support groups that you can go to if you do have someone to watch your loved one for an hour or so. And then, of course, you can always reach out to us, and we can maybe help you along the way and find someone in your area.
Yeah,
to help you
online,
out, but it's tough finding help.
Online support is very helpful. We get a lot of comments on our website and our Facebook page saying, oh, thank you for being here. I don't know what I would do. You are the only contact I have. You know, and, of course, we encourage them to get other contacts. But if, I don't know, I guess some people are just so overwhelmed and have absolutely no help, and maybe they haven't tried different resources. Maybe they have. I don't know, because everyone's story is different. But a lot of them are just heartbreaking. So,
yeah.
You know, you do need to ask. A lot of times I've noticed about caregivers, they're just too shy to ask for help. You know,
exactly.
I don't like to ask for help. And if I, you know, what if they say no, then I feel awkward. Okay. This, that. Just ask, you know.
Right.
If you want to go out and have a cup of coffee at Starbucks just to unwind and vent and just relax 1 hour, you mean your neighbor won't come over to watch for an hour while your loved one's taking a nap or something, or a movie, 2-3 hours, have somebody come in so that you don't cut those cords to your friends. You know, when is the last time a caregiver's been to the movie with a friend? Oh my gosh, you know, that's one of the questions on our Are You a Candidate for Burnout quiz. And unfortunately, it's been years since some caregivers have been to a movie with a friend. And that's just not right. You don't have to sacrifice your life for your caregiver so that you eventually become as sick or sicker than your caregiver, because that's pretty common. That's what happens.
Right.
So
it's,
don't be afraid to ask. And if that's
tough. Or the other solution would be bring your loved one with to the movies. My mother-in-law,
absolutely,
believe it or not, that's all she wanted to do was go to the movies. So we would take her probably, she was probably
lucky
the best
you.
Movie critic out there. We went through at least 3 times a week. Are we going to the movies? Are we going to the movies? Are we going to the movies? Sure, Ma. 3 a.m. Are we going to the movies? Let's go. There's help out there. Yeah, just you have to ask. You have to reach out.
It's unbelievable. But I know you'll probably believe this, but some people actually have people come up, oh, do you need help with anything? And they'll turn them down. They'll say, no, I'm okay. Can you believe that? People are actually asking to help, and they turn them down. Now, how many caregivers out there in the audience have actually done that? Raise your hand. Oh,
yep.
Wow, too many hands. So, come on now.
So true.
Let's talk about now, what are some activities that we can do with an Alzheimer's patient? You know, let's be specific. Because their independence has been taken away. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, a few things that I learned through researching online was stacking pennies. You get a whole,
oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, get a whole big bowl of pennies and lay them out on the table and say, Mom, I need your help with this. Can you please help me? I need to put them in stacks like this. And then you show her, and you can do it with her or, you know, let her feel independent by maybe walking away for a little bit. And let her stack the pennies. Another thing would be to fold towels. So you can keep just a regular bin of towels that is kind of your go-to every time, you know, you have you want to have her do something. And so just have her fold the towels and then put them on the ground, like in a big pile, and say, oh, my goodness, Mom, I need your help with this. Can you fold these? And then, you know, you can even have her put the towels into the drawers or wherever you keep them.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing would just be sweeping. Just have her sweep the floors, wiping down
tables. They don't have to do a great job at folding or sweeping. It's just something to do, and then you praise them, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's just giving that, making them feel important and useful, because you know this disease takes away their independence, and it just makes them feel so, you know, aggravated and useless. And it's, you want to make them feel like they're important. So doing these types of activities can really make them feel useful. So other things, movies, music, dancing. We would dance around in the house all the time. We would just play music. Her favorite was The Osmonds and Michael Jackson. That played in our house all the time. What else? Walks, picture books. So if you have like books that have nice artwork in them, and you know, you want to sometimes stay away from like the little kid stuff, like coloring. People told me to do that, but she would yell at me saying, "Oh my goodness, this is for little kids." So you don't want to insult them by giving them coloring. I mean, it might work for some people, but from my experience, it did not work well. So maybe get some books that are more mature, you know, with some nice artwork with animals and houses and beautiful scenery. And you can look through the book with her and talk about, wow, look at that pretty sun, or look at that cute bird, or, you know, stuff like that. And then one thing that someone had posted on our Alzheimer's caregiver support page was baby doll therapy.
Oh, what's that?
Yeah, so basically there's these dolls that look so real. Now, they don't, you know, they don't look like a five-year-old doll. I mean, these babies look real. And you give, and this is when the patient is in the later stages of Alzheimer's, because in the beginning, they're obviously going to know it's a doll. So this is later stages. You give them the doll and you say, you know, I need you to feed the baby today. And can you help me change her diapers? And can you just hold her for me? And they act like it's their little baby. And it gives them something to care for. And it gives them something to love and nourish and smile at. So I didn't get to
really
do that with my mother-in-law, but I've seen people do it, and it's amazing.
You really are creative. This is just a wealth of stuff that I had never considered before. And come to think of it, there was at my mother's assisted living, no, it was at the nursing home, there was one patient who always had a doll with her. And I was saying to myself, why is she like playing with a doll? But I think she thought it was a real baby.
Mm-hmm.
So that's amazing. Tell us what you've learned about wandering. Was Joan a wanderer?
Well, you know, before we realized, okay, we need to take the car keys away, she started going out of the house, and, you know, she would walk down the street, and so she started doing the wandering, but we ended up catching it before it was too much, you know, a problem. So what we had to do is we had to lock the doors and keep her in her home. You know, we had to put new locks on the door. I had to put a hook on the top where She never figured out, thank goodness. But, yeah, she would have, she tried to pick the lock sometimes. She would take her coat and she would take pencils and stuff and rub them on the door, thinking that's going to open the door. And she was creative,
like she's
too,
in prison.
But, yeah, but she never really was combative, like, as far as, like, get me out of here. She just was like, how come this door is not opening? And then I would distract her, and I would say, hey, Mom, come here. Look at this. Look at what Molly's doing. That was her dog. And so... So, yes, but wandering can be an issue, so you need to make sure that you have your doors bolted so, you know, they don't get out of the house.
It's just like caring for a three-year-old. I mean, many times they have the same behavior as a small child. So if you're ever in doubt what you should allow or not allow, just say, well, would I allow a three-year-old to do this? Would I allow a three-year-old to be cooking their eggs or, you know, stuff like that?
Wow.
And common sense kind of takes over. Would I allow a three-year-old to drive my car?
That's a perfect analogy. I mean, that's awesome that you said that, because that's so true. It's right on the money. And
but because they're our parent, our mother, it's like we're freaked out because, oh no, she's my mom. I want to respect her. I want to, you know, give her honor. But she's kind of not your mom anymore. She's gotten younger. She might be a three-year-old, your mom, you know? And I'm sure her mother wouldn't let her do all those things. So why in the world are you?
It can be tough.
Well, some Alzheimer's and dementia patients can be sweet, as I mentioned, and unfortunately some can be pretty nasty. My sister told me that Alzheimer's is usually nasty and dementia is usually sweet, but that's not necessarily true, right? So
no.
Do you have any advice for those that do things like accusing you of things you didn't do and telling everyone lies about you that, you know, she beats me?
Right. Well, first of all, like you said, this is all part of the disease. And, you know, every story is unique and different. And the biggest piece of advice I can give you is just agree with them and apologize. Now, obviously, if she's telling people, oh my gosh, she's hitting me or something like that, I mean, first of all, you want to make sure that your family members understand what's going on, that she has the Alzheimer's. I mean, they should understand, but you know, make sure that they do understand what's going on and that she's at this stage in the disease and that things that she's saying is not true. And obviously, if the family members don't understand and they just aren't cooperative with you, then let it go. Don't pay attention to them because you have enough to deal with caregiving, you know, for your loved one. But as far as, you know, why did you take my shirt or whatever? Just, I learned to agree and then apologize and then move on. Because if you try to argue and try to make your point to them and try to make them understand, I promise you I didn't take it. I promise you, you know, you probably put it somewhere. They're not going to understand. So I learned to agree and apologize, and they smile and they say, it's okay, don't worry. You know?
Right.
She's like, well, I forgive you. And then move on, you know.
Yeah.
But, it's enough stress trying to do the best job you can. I learned it's just easier to agree. But all Alzheimer's patients are not the same, as you mentioned. And everyone does have their own story. And some of them are easygoing. Some of them are the extreme combative, like my mother-in-law. I mean, my mother-in-law would hit me while I would, you know, try to help her in the bathroom. She would punch me, spit at me.
Oh, my God.
But then she would love me to death. And then she would say, do you know you're my mother? It was extreme with her, you know, and so, I mean, imagine having someone to help you wipe yourself, I mean, to give you a bath, to cut up your food, to tell you, you know, you can't go outside, or, you know, imagine living that type of life. And so they have all this built up aggression and aggravation and frustration, and you're the caregiver, so of course, they're going to turn to whoever's there and take it out on them. And so, unfortunately, we got the brunt of it. And I got it more than my husband, because she still knew Greg was her son and she knew his name all the way to the end. She actually started calling me Greg as well. But
really?
Yeah, towards the end, everything was Greg. The dog was Greg, the TV was Greg, everything was Greg. she loved her son more than anything. And so it can be a tough situation. Yeah, everyone's different. Every story is different. You just have to have patience and love.
You know, unfortunately, we both know that sometimes a caregiver can be so frustrated with an elderly loved one that, you know, some of them actually get abused. And, you know, elder abuse is a big subject. And I would guess there could even be some people listening who have been guilty of hitting their loved one or getting so frustrated, shaking them or something like that. And, of course, they've gotten to a point with frustration. We need to not get to that point. It's the same thing with children, right? You hear about parents
right.
getting so frustrated with their baby that they're shaking them, you know, like,
shut up,
you know, stop crying. And then, you know, there's irreparable damage, stuff like that. And obviously elder abuse is illegal. You can go to jail for doing it. So you don't even want to go there.
Gosh, no.
You know, what you're saying are tools that you can have to not even get to the frustration level. Like if you feel like you are getting frustrated and you're angry or something, you know, take a deep breath. Like you said, just apologize for doing whatever they're accusing you of doing, or go take a time out or have somebody else do it or take a bath. You know, just whatever it takes to keep that anger and frustration down, because you know, you just don't want to do that. Or maybe it's just that your time for caregiving is over, that you're just so burned
right.
out that you shouldn't be a caregiver anymore. And that's the time to perhaps find a great facility if there's no one else to care for the person.
Absolutely.
So, you know, don't even go there, people, if you feel like you're very close.
I would say the biggest thing I can say on that is you can't take things personal. You absolutely just... You cannot take things personal. I know it's hard because you're so used to that loved one being normal. You know, you remember them how they were 10 years ago and
yeah.
how they were, especially if it's your mom or your dad. I mean, they raised you, so you're so used to them being
right.
the parent role. And so to see them in a different light and to see them just being so mean to you and just not understanding and... You have to recognize that they are not the same person. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't mean anything. You know, they're just locked. They feel trapped. They're trapped inside and
right.
they don't know how to react. And so you absolutely cannot take things personal. Just take a deep breath.
Yeah.
Don't fight it. Again, don't try to make your point because they're never going to understand.
Right.
Just
it's an
agree.
Argument you will never win.
You will never win,
win
and
logic.
They're still your mom and dad. So
yeah.
parents are always right. Just remember that. So
and,
just,
and
yeah,
I
just
love,
take a deep breath.
I love that movie, The Notebook, because it's
mm-hmm.
so beautiful. You know, we see when they were young and how they fell in love and how you know, they went through their whole life. And then we see... You know, that they're good 1 second, say, let's get out of here. Let's get in the car. Let's drive away. And then the next second, who are you? What are you doing in my house? You get out of here. You know.
Exactly.
And it's just such a frustrating thing. My sister used to be very impatient and, you know, not understanding with my mother. Even though she knew she had dementia, she would get frustrated very easily. But
mm-hmm.
when she started reading more about the disease and what it is and why they do what they do and how you should respond to it, she's so much better now. You know, she treats her like she would treat her 3-year-old granddaughter. And so that
exactly.
knowledge is can be very powerful in here. Now, I want to ask you there. That's right. There are stages of dementia. There are stages of Alzheimer's. Are they the same kind of stages?
You know, there's a breakdown of it on. I just posted this a couple.
Yeah,
days
I saw
ago.
That in a video.
Yeah, it's. You know, I don't know it verbatim. I can't
okay.
recall exactly. But there's specific stages that you can look at. So, if you want to go on our page or just Google it, the 7 stages, it'll break it down for you. as far as the differences. I mean, Alzheimer's is a form of dementia, so so they're kind of hand in hand. But yeah, if you want to take a look at
there's different forms of dementia also besides Alzheimer's, right? But Alzheimer's seems to be the famous.
Yeah, Alzheimer's is the most common, but there are other forms of dementia, and so.
And there's no cure yet, right?
Unfortunately, there is no cure.
There's no early detection. Like, we don't know it's happening until it's too late.
Yeah, unfortunately. That's why awareness is so, so important. And it seems
and everyone
like people
probably
are starting
take that
to talk.
Test, get a baseline of where they are. I know I just took it 9 months ago because I forget all the time. I don't know if it's just my normal memory or if, you know, something genetic is coming from my mother. So, but I want to make sure because my wife, you know, is very concerned. But I speak to a lot of people and I even spoke to my doctor. He says, you know, if you forget things, but then you later remember them, that's a good sign. But if you forget them and then they're like gone forever, that's a bad sign. So I would recommend that everybody talk to their doctor. I actually saw an ad online that said they were doing a free study on early treatment for Alzheimer's, and if you come to this address, we will give you a free baseline test, and you're also able to come back in 6 months, and then we'll compare to see if you're getting the same, getting the worse, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So tell us some interesting facts that you've learned about Alzheimer's.
Well, it's the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what do people die from? Do they, like, forget to breathe, forget to what kills an Alzheimer's patient?
Right. It's not exactly the, per se, the disease, but it's something that maybe they, for instance, my mother-in-law ended up having a brain hemorrhage. So she technically died from bleeding on the brain. It affected, you know, the Alzheimer's affected her brain where, I don't know the technical terminology, but long story short, she was bleeding on the brain. So that was the actual, you know, cause of death in the long term. It's just the body breaks down, and you, whether you get pneumonia or you get, you know, a sickness, that's the body just is breaking down.
Right. Now, you were telling me earlier that stage six can have up to a 90-second delay in processing. Explain that.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. I actually just read this or saw this in a video the other day. It can take up, to 90 seconds for
which is
for
a long
to,
time.
Right, for them to process. So if you say stand up or, you know, put your leg into your pant leg or something like that, it can take them 90 seconds for them to actually process and understand what you said.
Sure. That's like a very, very slow computer. You hit the G sign, the G button, and 90 seconds later you see a G on your screen, which happens to me all the time.
Right. So, I mean, the bottom line is patience. You need to wait that out and let them process it and remember that they're not getting it right away. So it's so easy for us to say, come on, Mom, stand up, let's go. You know, let them process. Another interesting fact is almost two-thirds of Americans with AD are women. So
really?
That's pretty interesting.
Do they know why?
I don't know. Good question, right?
My mother said I asked too many questions when I was a boy. I never grew out of it. But we'll find out. I'll Google, why are women two-thirds more likely to get Alzheimer's?
Right.
And maybe I'll find out. What is the best advice, Lisa, that you can give us from your experience?
Best advice, goodness, the number one thing would be patience. Patience, continue to love them. And as I said earlier, do not take things personal. It's not their fault. They don't understand what they're saying. Don't take it personal. Ask for God's help. That's what we did. Just pray. God will make a way.
Yes,
he will make it better.
I certainly couldn't have made it through my 19-year caregiver journey, which I'm still on, without just letting God, because I know that the Bible says all things work for good to them that love you and are called according to your purpose, which means if you're going through it, another scripture also says that he will never give you more than you can handle. So if you're going through it, you can handle it. And many times I would go to bed saying, I can't handle this.
Oh,
but
tears and all, right?
Yeah, and I woke up the next morning and I guess I handled it.
Right.
I woke up.
And there's a reason for everything. I mean, whoever knew? I never would have imagined going through that I would be sitting here today with you talking about my story and hopefully changing at least one person's life. I mean, wow, that's just amazing to me. I mean, to be able to help someone else out because of what I went through is just incredible. And one thing I wanted to tell you, I read it this morning. I turned on my computer, and it was Joel Osteen. I saw, instead of being frustrated, have a new perspective.
Mm-hmm.
At the right time, the season will change.
That's right. This too will pass.
And this too will pass. So.
And that's why you need to have hobbies and interests, because when it does, you need to be used to having another life, as opposed to saying, well, I don't have a life. Well, why not? You can have a life. It doesn't take much. It just takes a desire.
Exactly.
It's like the empty nest syndrome, right? Two married people, their lives are totally devoted to raising their kids. And guess what? When the kids are gone, they look at each other and kind of say, well, who are you?
Right.
And they don't know what to do.
Find
they don't know
passion.
What to say. And they get a divorce because they're bored stiff with each other because they don't have any more the children, which, you know, they eat, drink, and sleep raising these kids. And when the kids
right.
are gone, well, now what do we do? It's like, okay, your care receiver dies, and it's like, okay, now what do I do? So you've got to start doing it now. You know, while you're married raising the kids, you need date day and things that you have in common and that you
Find your passion. Find your passion, and everyone
Thank
has
you.
Something that they're passionate about. But, you know, another thing is just, you know, go reach out to your church family or, you know, there's so many things that you can turn to. So just find your passion. What makes you smile at the end of the day? What do you like? And go with it.
I couldn't
Mine
have
was
said
singing.
It better. Couldn't
singing
have said
in
it
the bathroom.
And everybody can sing in the bathroom. I don't care how good or bad you are.
Exactly.
So,
right.
How can my listeners connect with you if they want more information on how to balance their hobbies and their interests with their caregiving? So give us your
Facebook
YouTube
page.
Channel, everything. Give us everything.
Ooh, you want to hear me sing in the bathroom?
Sure.
It's Music Lisa Michelle or Lisa Michelle Music. I can't remember. But I'll put it on my Alzheimer's Caregiver Support page. That's the easiest way
right.
to find me, and I'll put links to the music
that,
YouTube. It's kind of silly. But, yeah, go to our Facebook page, please. We'd love to hear your story and what you're going through. It's Alzheimer's Giver Support. It's an open group. You can just go right on our page and like it. And I keep it open that way. There's many closed groups on Facebook. I chose to keep it open just so anyone can view it at any time. And share your story and tell us what you're going through. And we'd love to help you out as much as we can. And I've got, like I said, a wonderful volunteer staff that helps me. They're on there answering questions and posting stuff. So please join us. We'd love to hear your story. So Alzheimer's Caregiver Support.
And you've almost got 2,000 people who are already on it listening, I assume.
Almost, yeah. All of a sudden, the last month, we've been really getting a lot of support. So we appreciate it. My goal was 10,000, so let's see if we can make it.
All right. Well, Lisa, thank you again for allowing me to interview you, and thank you to my listening audience for tuning in. And remember, every Wednesday live at noon, don't forget that all our shows are recorded podcasts, so you can listen on the same link any time of the day or night. And also, when you're visiting my website, davenass.com or davethecaregiver.com, don't forget to take our free test, which is Are You a Candidate for Burnout? So that you can find out where you are in the burnout process. And you'll get that free book, One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardship. So until next week, may God richly bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process, right here on the Worldwide Blog Talk Radio Network.